good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Darius Van-Colley, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Hollywood's newest controversy, Tilly Norwood, a reunion weekend roundtable, a new students take a bite out of Evanston, two poems that highlight the beauty in the moments we have, and a new sports roundup. Those stories and more are coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. The emergence of an artificially generated actress is raising new flags for the entertainment industry. Evelyn Wan has the story.
The name Tilly Norwood is taking the entertainment world by storm. That's because Norwood isn't your average entertainer. She's actually not even human, but an artificially generated actress. Norwood was created by Aline van der Velden, the Dutch founder and CEO of the AI production studio Particle 6. Van der Velden introduced Norwood at the Zurich Summit last week. There, van der Velden brought up her interest in looking for entertainment companies to sign Norwood. News of both Norwood's presence and van der Velden's intentions prompted strong backlash from the entertainment industry. Emily Blunt and Whoopi Goldberg were just a few of the many actors who raised their concerns about characters like Norwood putting human actors out of work and diminishing the importance of human art. The entertainment labor union SAG-AFTRA joined these comments. They released a statement calling Norwood a, quote, replacement of human performers by synthetics. Van der Velden responded to the backlash on Norwood's Instagram page. She wrote that Norwood is, quote, not a replacement for a human being, but rather a piece of art. This controversy plays a bigger role in the conversation with how artificial intelligence intertwines with our lives, and how far we are willing to let it in. Whether or not Norwood will be accepted into the realm of Hollywood remains to be seen. From WNUR News, I'm Evelyn Wan.
This past weekend, alumni of all ages returned to campus and celebrated homecoming together. Sydney Fenner sat down with a group of very special women to reflect on their Northwestern experience 30 years down the line.
Hi, this is Sydney Fenner with WNUR News, and I am with, would you guys like to go around and introduce yourselves? So I'm class of 2026, five, if you guys want to say your graduation year and maybe your major.
Robin Goldfenner, RTVF 95.
Cassie Wilcox-Frick, CAS, psychology major, 96.
Stephanie March, theater, Latin American studies, 96.
Emily Barwig Fowler, class of 96, CAS, environmental science.
Karen Faber-Fanter, class of 95, economics and international studies.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys for joining me today. And can I just ask, what brings you all here? Why are we all here?
We are here for our 30th reunion from Northwestern, but only two of us are actually class of 95 celebrating our 30th reunion, but the others like to just join in because we're such good friends and we use this as an excuse to get together.
Cool.
Well, you can't just see the people in your class because so many of your friends are a class ahead or a class... I say this as the one person who actually did not attend the reunion, but it matters enough to be around these people that I came after the reunion just to be with them.
Wonderful. So when you come back to Northwestern, what do you see as different? What do you see as still being the same? How do these changes present themselves?
It feels like there are a lot of really hideous new buildings that make it a bit disorienting to be on campus.
And name names. Which are these buildings?
I shan't, because they were all generously donated and they serve a purpose. But I do wish there was a little bit more architectural rigor when determining what the campus would look like.
Mm. And we've lost a lot of open space.
Yeah.
We have, especially Lakeville space.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of that's because of the fact that we have the temporary stadium that's right there, which was gorgeous, but it is different to have such a big structure right on the lake, though, and it definitely made everything feel different.
Yeah, I agree. But frankly, the energy and the like goodness and safety and like just general happy feeling of the place feels the same to me. But I gotta say, I think that there may be like sort of a lack of fun feeling. Like, I think there's, like, a lot of sincerity and goodwill and nice kids and people are there to learn and grow, but it feels less fun. It just feels like there is less fun happening.
It's pretty serious.
Yeah, it seems more serious.
It's the business of being really smart.
And at the game, I feel like I saw a lot of alums and a lot of adults and even families with younger children, but there weren't a lot of students that I felt like were present.
I was not at that game.
Right.
And none of my friends were at that game. And I was asking around about tailgates, and everyone was like, no. That might be because I'm a senior and people are kind of tapped out. But yeah, who were we playing?
Do you think the lack of students at the game is because it's a temporary stadium and like the lack of tailgating? Is it because there isn't a home base right now, or is it just how the spirit of the school is?
You know, I think, honestly, if anything, I think that the proximity of the new stadium would be a draw for people because schlepping all the way up to the old Ryan Fieldhouse, which it was a fun walk for sure, but it was a journey for some people. I'm not sure. I think that, honestly, I mean, something that I really, really love about Northwestern is that everybody is so involved and so passionate and so ambitious. But that does mean that people take on a lot and are super busy. And, like, when I talked to my friends about what they were doing on that Saturday morning, it was, like, everything but going to the game. Like, I have to be on set. I'm handling callbacks for, like, a comedy group I'm in. I have, you know, I'm working on my thesis. And it's awesome that people are doing all of that. But it's also, like, who wants to stand in a backyard and, like, I don't know.
Hang out.
And just veg.
We do.
Yeah.
I know
you do.
And we did a lot.
We did.
We seem to still be doing it. That's a big thing we do when we get together, actually.
It's a lifelong commitment.
So my next question is, what has the alumni community meant to you in the years since you graduated?
Everything.
Aww.
Absolutely everything. Yeah.
Agree.
Everything good from, you said this the other day, Robin, everything good from my life came from here. Yeah. In one way or another.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more proud of being a Northwestern alum. I love Northwestern. I'm supportive in every way I can be. There's a few things I wish that we were doing better and doing differently, but by and large, I bleed purple and have my Northwestern license plate frame, and I get thrilled whenever I meet an alum anywhere in this world. And people are doing cool stuff, and it's like just a badge of honor to be a member of this community.
Next, I want you to tell me about places on campus that hold really vivid memories for you. Like, just being there, you're like, oh my god.
Like, every step, yes. Every inch.
A thousand things flashing through your mind,
exactly,
from the arch to the rock to Norris, which hasn't been improved in 720 years, but still is like, has such
it's
a place in my heart.
What do you mean? There's literally a pizza place there now.
But there was a Taco Bell. How do you think I survived college?
But not only have I had memories there, like, incredible memories every inch of the campus when I was there for 4 years. I remember going there with my parents when I was 7 years old. And my mom said, that's right.
Yeah.
And we went with Faber, one of the other panelists here. And her daughter was Mia, 4. I mean, she was tiny, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have memories of, like, before I was there. And I have memories after I was there showing my daughter. And now all these reunions. We have, like, a lot of reunion memories under our belts at this point, too.
Many more than we should.
More than we should. So many. Right. Exactly.
30's a lot of
reunions.
A lot of years.
We've come every single one. I've come every 5, 10, 15, 20, 20.
Have you really?
Of
have you
course.
Not missed one?
Anything, like, specific? Like, you, like, walked somewhere and you were like, oh my god. Or, like, you stood somewhere? I don't know.
I mean, I think that as we were walking to the game and back from the game across the lake fill with the water and the rock fill and all of it, like, I think we all were like, oh my gosh, do we remember how pretty this was? Like, did we really understand how gorgeous of a place that we had the opportunity to go to school? And we're like, did we come down here enough? Maybe we should have come down here. It's really something.
I guess the last question would be, what advice do you guys have for me as somebody who's about to graduate? Like, what should I do in my last year? What should I think of?
Stay right there.
Don't
ever leave.
Never leave.
No. That's the advice we give to anybody that ever asks. Don't never leave. Just stay.
I don't think you would be in that community. Because you never, even people you don't know right now who are in your class or a class behind you or ahead of you, you never know how your paths might cross, and whether it's a job or your children know each other, or you meet each other, you know, in a foreign city and you happen to be on the same, who knows? But there are ways that people have of crossing paths who are alumni of the school, and it's really surprising and kind of wonderful.
Drink it up, soak it in every second.
I'm so glad that, like, our school isn't teeny tiny, but it's also not like Ohio State or something where you have like 100,000 people that also are doing, like, it's kind of special.
Uh-huh.
It feels sort of special. Yeah, it's a sweet spot size-wise where, like, you go out into the world and it's not like, oh, anybody here could have gone to, like, this giant school. Like, we went to this special place and special time. And I mean, I gotta say, I think the 90s ruled. It did. Like, I'm so happy we were there in the 90s.
Without phones?
No phones. Yes. Yeah. It was the best. Yeah. Yeah, and of course, which I don't have to worry about you like this, but don't take it for granted. You know, pause and appreciate the moments, but you're good like that. Yeah. Give back to your community. It's worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on that lovely note, I think we will leave it there. Thank you all so much for joining me. This has been a wonderful conversation. And yeah. Go Cats!
Go Cats!
Yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah. For WNUR News, this is Sydney Fenner signing off.
On Sunday, downtown Evanston brought back a student favorite food experience. Olivia Payne and Jessica Watts got a taste of what it was like.
It's October, which means new students are settling in for the year. One of the ways they're being welcomed is with free food in downtown Evanston.
It started when one of our board members came up with Big Bite Night, just as a way to, like, bring students into downtown.
Downtown Evanston is not just a location. It's also the name of the organization that hosts Big Bite Night. Laura Brown is its director of marketing.
Participating restaurants just offer a bite of food, and it's just a great way to kind of introduce students to the downtown area because it's so close to Northwestern.
Big Bite Night has been held in Evanston for around 20 years. This year featured over 25 restaurants, with cuisine ranging from Korean to Venezuelan.
Because Evanston has so many restaurants, Big Bite Night...
just a way to kind of share what all the offerings are and the variety of places that students can kind of explore.
Weinberg sophomore Hannah Choi is taking advantage of the fall weather and the free food for a second year in a row.
There's a lot of local businesses that I've never tried before, so I think it's a great way, especially for, like, new students or even current students, to kind of explore the downtown Evanston food scene. I'm a really big foodie, so I thought it's a good chance to, you know, capitalize on the free food offered and also, like, meet some people, enjoy the fresh air, and just walk around while enjoying food.
One of the things that brought her back was Evanston's variety of eats.
You're not really bound to, like, only try one cuisine, which is really nice, so, like, everyone kind of can find something they really enjoy, and I feel like you never really get bored.
For others, it's their first time exploring the food scene. First-year master's student Cole Savitz-Vogel had a new experience with an old taste at Deep Purple.
It's definitely bringing me to some places that I, like, wouldn't have gone on my own. Like, I'm not the biggest acai fan, but because it was free, I tried it, and I like it a little more than when I tried it, like, years ago.
Savitz-Vogel has been looking forward to experiencing all downtown Evanston restaurants had to offer.
When I was moving here, I wanted to be in Evanston so that I could go to, like, different food places instead of, like, being in, like, the north part of campus.
And he's not the only one ready to start dining downtown. Tapas Barcelona ran out of Big Bite Night samples within the first hour of the event.
We just ran out of samples. Thank you.
Over the last 30 years, Tapas Barcelona has been a staple in downtown Evanston. Owner Maria Lopez enjoys the annual event because she can introduce new students to Spanish cuisine.
We love the, you know, the students from Northwestern. We want them to feel welcome, and we want them to know that we are here for them.
The diverse restaurants of Evanston can continue to unite students from all over the world with unique bites and great conversation. For WNUR News, I'm Olivia Payne.
And I'm Jessica Watts.
As the seasons continue to change, it's easy to find beauty in everything, from falling leaves to spending time with loved ones. Mongjen Markland brings us two poems that highlight the ways that every moment is so much more than it may seem.
Hi, have you taken a deep breath today? Welcome to Wellverse, WNUR News' poetry segment, where you'll hear timely poem readings to help you relax, reflect, and reconnect. As we settle deeper into fall, more and more things are changing around us. the leaves, the temperature, the chill in the air, and the sweaters we bundle up in. In periods of such change, I always find myself drawn to poetry as a chance to notice and appreciate everything around me, from the trees I walk past on my way to class to phone calls with my family. Today, I will be sharing some poems I've stumbled across recently that have stuck with me since I read them, and that have made me see the world differently after reading them. The first poem I'll be reading is I Happen to Be Standing by Mary Oliver. I don't know where prayers go or what they do. Do cats pray while they sleep, half asleep in the sun? Does the opossum pray as it crosses the street? The sunflowers? The old black oak growing older every year. I know I can walk through the world, along the shore, under the trees, with my mind filled with things of little importance in full self-attendance. A condition I can't really call being alive. Is a prayer a gift or a petition, or does it matter? The sunflowers blaze, maybe it's their way. Maybe the cats are sound asleep, maybe not. While I was thinking this, I happened to be standing just outside my door with my notebook open, which is the way I begin every morning. Then a wren in the privet began to sing. He was positively drenched in enthusiasm, I don't know why. And yet, why not? I wouldn't persuade you from whatever you believe or whatever you don't. That's your business. But I thought of the wren singing, what could this be if it isn't a prayer? So I just listened, my pen in the air. The second poem I'll be reading is Living Together by Edgar Bowers. Of you, I have no memory, keep no promise. But as I read, drink, wait, and watch the surf, faithful, almost forgotten, your demand becomes all others, and this loneliness, the need that is your presence. In the dark, beneath the lamp, attentive, like a sound I listen for, you draw near, closer, surer than speech or sight or love returned. Thank you for listening to Well-Versed. I hope these poems inspired the same feelings of awe, gratitude, and clarity that I experienced when I read them for the first time. Art makes us see things in new ways, and I feel that these two do an excellent job of reminding you of the beauty of life while also shifting things into a new light that makes everything fresh. As you go about your day, I invite you to appreciate those around you as the seasons continue to change. For WNUR News, I'm Meng-Jen Markland.
Northwestern sports have been heating up as the weather cools down. Here's a look at the past week's best performances from our sports teams.
Hi, I'm Nash Phillips. Here's this week's Northwestern Sports Report. On Saturday, the Wildcat football team routed the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks 42-7 in their homecoming game. After ULM took an early 7-0 lead, Northwestern responded, holding them scoreless the rest of the game while transfer quarterback Preston Stone threw for 262 yards and 3 touchdowns. Sophomore running back Caleb Kamalafe added 75 yards on the ground and another 2 touchdowns, while safety Robert Fitzgerald continued to anchor the defense, leading them with 6 tackles. After their second straight win, the Cats moved to 3-2, but will face the tall task of taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions in Happy Valley this coming Saturday. Northwestern field hockey continued their run of dominance last Friday with a 3-1 victory over number 10 ranked Iowa on the road. The number 1 ranked and defending champion Wildcats moved to 10-0 on the season. The Hawkeyes' lone goal was just the third allowed by the team all year, thanks in large part to their stalwart redshirt freshman goalkeeper Juliana Boone, who just took home Big Ten Freshman of the Week honors. Ilsa Tromp, who scored twice against the Hawkeyes and leads the team in goals with 11, actually won Defensive Player of the Week last week. The field hockey team also matches up with Penn State on Friday, but will face them at home. Both men's and women's soccer took home crucial W's in the past few days after hard losses to Washington and Penn State, respectively. First, the women took down a solid Nebraska team 3-0 on Sunday with goals from Katarina Regazzoni, Sarah O'Donnell, and Kennedy Roche, who also recorded an assist. The men took down the University of Evansville 1-0 last night, largely propelled by a clean sheet from goalie Rafael Ponce de Leon and Peter Reese's fourth goal of the year. The women's volleyball team dropped their second match in the row, but did steal a set from number 10 ranked Minnesota. Despite the rough stretch, The extremely young Wildcat team remains 11-5 on the year and will look to bounce back in New Jersey on Friday as they take on Rutgers. That wraps up your NU Sports Report for the week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Nash Phillips, WNUR News.
Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation. Evanston's Rules Committee hit a snag Monday night over how to pick an acting mayor if Mayor Daniel Biss wins his congressional race and steps down. The committee debated whether it should take a simple majority or a two-thirds supermajority of council members to choose a replacement. Some argued the higher bar would prevent political maneuvering, while others said sticking with state law keeps things simple and consistent. The issue got tangled in procedural disputes and was ultimately tabled for a future meeting. In Chicago news, 500 National Guard troops have arrived in the Chicago area, despite pushback from Illinois' governor. The deployment comes in rising tensions over federal involvement, with the governor arguing the move is unnecessary and could escalate the situation. For now, the troops are on standby as debates over their role continue. And in national news, a legal battle is brewing over former President Trump's deployment of the National Guard in Washington, D.C. The city's attorney general is suing, calling the move unconstitutional and undemocratic. The case has split the country along party lines, with 23 Republican-led states backing Trump's authority and 22 Democrat-led states siding with D.C. Experts say the city's unique federal status makes this a pivotal court fight to watch. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, and our reporters are Evelyn Wan, Sydney Fenner, Jessica Watts, Olivia Payne, Mongjen Markland, and Nash Phillips. I'm Darsmeen Bankole. Catch our next newscast Friday, October 10th. Now back to scheduled programming.